This is the Cornerstone Companion Podcast with me, your host, Dr. Vic McCracken, Assistant Professor of Theology and Ethics at Abilene Christian University. This podcast features interviews of ACU Cornerstone Spotlight speakers, students, and some outside voices. Thank you for listening in.
Today I visit with Drs. Tracy Shilkut and Dr. Stephen Moore. Dr. Shilkut is Associate Professor of History here at Abilene Christian University. Her areas of specialty include American social history and military history. Dr. Stephen Moore is Assistant Professor of English. His areas of interest include American literature, multicultural literature, and African American literature. Dr. Shilkut, Dr. Moore, thank you for coming into the studio today.
Thank you for having us.
First question, I want to find out where you learned your awesome dance moves. Can you tell us where you learned to dance?
I would say TV. MTV was big when I was growing up in the 80s, and so my twin brother and I would just sit in front of the TV set and learn some of the movements from these artists. So like Prince and Michael Jackson and Boys to Men, we definitely wanted to be like them, and so that's what we did.
And I actually took classes with my daughter when she was taking her ballet classes, and so spent about 6 years in a formal dancing sessions.
Wow, learning the, what was it, the shuffle?
Yeah, uh-huh. The shuffle. John Travolta.
That's right. I want you to teach me ballet, though.
Yeah,
you're great with that.
It was great. Well, I really appreciate both of you for coming in today, as well as the stimulating presentations that you gave last week and this week. I want to ask a few questions. Some of these are my own questions, and some of them are questions that have emerged from interactions with students. And the first one I'm going to direct to you, Stephen, something that my students have been wrestling with from your presentation last week is about questions about the role of race in America and in our own lives in a culture that has been shaped by a history of racial discrimination. So one of the things we've been wrestling with that I'd like to get your response to is how today we should address the problem of race. And we've been talking about two different approaches. And in a way, this kind of relates to some things that Dr. Shilkut mentioned today. The one approach would be maybe the melting pot approach, where to address the problem of racism, what we emphasize is the sameness, the fact that we're all created equally, we're all made in the image of God. And so we address the problem of racism by emphasizing that we all share everything in common. We're colorblind. And then the other approach is one that says, no, it's not so much that we need to be colorblind, it's that we need to recognize and affirm the differences that exist between us. So it's not that I look at a person of color and say, well, they're just like me. I say, no, they're different from me, and I need to respect that difference. What's your reaction? Do you think that those two are mutually exclusive? Do you think one is better than the other?
Right. I think that's a great question. I'm somewhat in the middle, and I think I go back and forth between those two questions. I think it's important for us to realize that there's the Spirit of God inside of me and Dr. Shilkut, inside of you, inside of all of our students. And that Spirit inside of all of us, that's what connects us together. So I'm a firm believer in talking about that in terms of us being created in God's image, and that there is purpose for us, and that we belong to Him. But then I think we also have to take in consideration that we're different for a reason. And as was pointed out, especially last week, we should celebrate our differences. I think we run into problems when we say, oh, everyone's the same, everyone has similar experiences, let's just go and walk together down this road. I think we're only fooling ourselves. I just believe we have to have honest conversations about the differences that we have, and that God made us that way. And I believe Dr. Shilkut and I pointed this out, like the importance of coming to the table with people who are different than you are. And I think that is the test. I think that is the challenge. I think that's what education does in general. There are scholars, there are professors. They don't see eye to eye with each other, but they love, or at least we try to love and respect each other. But we do come to the table and share our backgrounds and share our differences and share our opinions and share our insights. And I think that's what makes the world larger, and that's what makes it richer when we behave this way. But I do want to highlight that one strategy that I talked about and that Dr. Shuka and I talked about this summer. I think we have to make ourselves uncomfortable. I definitely had some life-changing experiences when a teacher would come into the room and I had to read a novel from someone different than me, different from my ethnic background, my socioeconomic class, and it made me uncomfortable, but it allowed me to open up my eyes and to see that there's another world out there besides my own world. And so that's the number one concern I have with students. I just hope and pray that not only students, but all of us are willing to make ourselves uncomfortable, to explore art and literature and to study history and to study all these different disciplines and to be willing to open our minds. And I think that's very important to do.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. Something else that you both did today, you had us think about worldview differences from a generational perspective. You did that through the creative device of different dance styles, which was, I can tell, very enjoyable for our students. I wanted to have you all help us reflect just a bit more on the generational differences that you see. So you talked about the 1970s and the 1980s, your generations and the differences there. I'd like you to maybe reflect on that a bit more and then also draw on our students and their generation. How do you see your generation and the way that it views the world? How do you see that differently from the way that the students that you teach view the world?
Well, to your first part about the differences between the 70s and 80s, just a quick observation would be that I was raised in the 70s in a time when Nixon was going through Watergate. It was the very end of the Vietnam War. There was gas rationing with the OPEC, with the embargo, and so it was a pretty tense time versus the 80s, which seemed to be perhaps a little less divisive and intense.
Right.
So there could be some differences there. Do you think of anything else as far as 80s and 70s?
Just with the 80s, I definitely agree with you. I think with the 60s and with the 70s, you saw social unrest and definitely university students going against culture and raising issues and concerns and problems of culture. And with the 80s, I think you see some similarities, but it's really a me generation. I mean, when I was growing up, it's interesting to study the 80s now versus when I was living through it. But I think they categorize, you know, the 80s were just a me generation. It's all about the individual. And I do see some similarities in our students today in terms of what can I do to satisfy myself. But I think it's important to learn lessons from each other, like those of us that have grown up in the 80s to learn from those from the past, and then for our students to do the same with us.
Are there other things that you see our students kind of familiar with, engaging in their generation that are different from the generations that you grew up in?
I would say one of the most recognizable is the handheld devices that are keeping them in constant contact. And so that is a communication difference that they are, it's everywhere for them, and they're very used to that, and we're still, you know, trying to figure out predicted text. And then the other thing I would say is that they have never really not known the post 9/11 world. And so that has affected the way that they view the world perhaps a little bit differently from the way that we would, because we have lived long enough to know a time before that.
Right. And I definitely want to underscore that. I think with this age of technology, they are definitely, when I walk into a classroom, I think it's totally different from the classes I experienced when I was growing up. But you walk to a classroom nowadays and you have the iPad and the laptops and the the little learning mobile devices and texting each other. It's funny because, you know, sometimes my students, they're texting each other while I'm up there talking, or texting each other if something's going on in the classroom. They're communicating with each other through texting.
About your lecture all the time, I'm sure.
Right. That's right. Or saying what they disagree with I'm saying. But I would love to hear that feedback. But it's just scary to me. I love technology, don't get me wrong. But I think at times we're so high tech that we're not high touch. And that's what's frightening for me.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you feel like the payoff of being in a world where we're constantly wired to the outside environment, is that do you see that as a good thing for our students, or do you have some concerns about that?
I think I have a little of both. I'd see it as it can be used in a positive way, especially if we think about the educational world. I definitely see value in technology being used. But what scares me, the flip side is that we're constantly recording each other. It seems like we're on TV 24/7, and that's what's scary. And when I'm on Facebook, or what students have told me, like all the other, like blogging and MySpace and all that, I think it's too public. And there's a danger in that. And Dr. Shulka and I and some other professors were talking about, you know, it's been in the media in terms of some students taking it too far, recording without someone's permission. I think we just have to be cautious of that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's a difference in filters between perhaps our generation and this generation, and understanding what those filters are in public space. The other thing that I would add to that is that they are valuable, and I use the texting as much as anyone, but it can be a place where it's consuming and there's a lack of Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And so I think that the technology is well and good, but to remember why it's helpful to have it, and to remember how to turn them off on occasion, mm-hmm. when you need to turn them off.
The two things that you both have mentioned are the ubiquity of technology and 9/11. Do you see the experience of 9/11, like how do you see that shaping students today in a way that really sets this generation apart? Because I actually agree with that. I think that's kind of like the defining moment for us. I think it affects the way many of our students view government, the responsibilities of government, as well as just, you know, the day-to-day lives that we have with enhanced security measures and parts of our lives that we've never had to think about them before.
Right.
I guess maybe I'm answering my own question, but do you see any other ways that 9/11 is affecting your students and their outlook in the world?
I guess I think there's a cry for community. Like, I've noticed that. I think after 9/11 happened, I think most of us can remember people really opening up and talking to each other and making connections. In fact, they talked about church numbers just swelling because of 9/11, people coming together and trying to share some of their grief and their pain and things like that. But this generation of students, I get the sense that in addition to those people who were, you know, who are older and we were able to process what was going on with 9/11, for these students, a lot of them haven't been able to process all of that. But I do see them crying out for community. I think that's why they seek out avenues like Facebook and just to name one. Where they want to be heard. And I know some students where they'll just use Facebook and they'll say things that they will never say, like in a classroom or to someone else. So I do see this need of this need for belonging, or this need to just have a brother or a sister or a community to go to and to really open up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this generation of students, they're teaching us how to do that. But I think we can also teach them how to put down the learner mobile devices, like what you're saying, because I think it's too much a part of our lives. And I'm just afraid of what Ray Bradbury points out. We may go too far, and our hearts may turn into cold, and they may become metallic. And I just think we have to find a way to really put everything down and to see each other face to face.
That's good. Well, Dr. Shulkut, Dr. Moore, I want to thank you once again for coming into our studio today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.